It's astounding, really, when you think about it, how much God gives to us. He is the chief giver. And as we sit here today, we breathe this air. We don't even think about it. It just happens automatically. We are alive. God breathed air into Adam's nostrils and gave him life, just as he's given every one of us life. We're given forgiveness and a new beginning. By receiving God's Spirit, we can experience a fresh start and a transformation into who we were created to be. He provides for our needs, food, clothing, shelter. Many of us have received physical blessings such as improved health, better jobs, and other material goods. God has given us the knowledge of His way of life, which produces every happiness we could desire. This includes His laws that would make us happy, bring us peace, and give us prosperity. Mr. Armstrong described the Holy Spirit as a precious gift that provides direction, knowledge from Him, a revelation of knowledge that God offers without money and without price. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's in John 3:16. You don't need to turn there. God's nature is that of a giver and not a getter. And His greatest gift was His Son. And God's ultimate gift, the gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's in Romans 6:23. Immortality is not something humans inherently possess, but is a gift from God. So fundamentally, God is a giver and not a getter. All God asks in return is genuine gratitude, and that we too adopt His nature and character. Mr. Armstrong said that one of the greatest sins, and most universal, is a lack of gratitude, a lack of giving God thanks in all things and for all things. So let's turn to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 15 we'll read. Hebrews 13, verse 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So the Revised Standard Version puts verse 16 as, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, which is a bit easier to understand. Here we read about two types of sacrifices. Our praise to God is a type of spiritual sacrifice. God desires spiritual sacrifices, giving Him the homage of our lips and praise. Praise is to be a continual sacrifice, and this praise should be part of our daily life. The second part of the passage shows that giving and sharing are also sacrifices pleasing to God. These principles are the same as tithing and giving offerings. These financial sacrifices are part of God's way of life. Both elements, praise and good works, sharing, are necessary. Merely talking about Christianity is not enough. Physical acts of goodness and sharing must accompany our verbal praise to God. Romans 12, verse 1, you can, again, just put that in your notes. It speaks of presenting our bodies as living sacrifices, showing that the Christian life itself is to be a continual sacrifice to God, expressed both through words of praise and concrete actions of giving and service. Why is giving a sacrifice? Specifically, today we come together commanded to present a freewill offering to God. So let's go ahead and turn first and read Deuteronomy 16:16. I'm sure most of you already have that scripture bookmarked for this message. Deuteronomy 16:16. Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which He shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God which He hath given thee. Think about the word sacrifice. A sacrifice is giving up something valued or important for the sake of something else regarded as more important. Now, back in those days, it would have been livestock or produce, physical goods. Today, it's money. Both things are valuable in their respective times, and both are spiritually equivalent in that they support the same purpose. Our monetary offerings today carry the same spiritual significance as the physical sacrifices of ancient Israel. Just as they gave up something valuable to acknowledge God's role in their lives, our giving today represents a spiritual sacrifice, surrendering something of value to honor our Creator. But is it the money itself that's valuable? Money is just paper or digital bits. It's inherently worthless and only has value because governments declare it does. Its true significance lies in what it represents. So let's look at it from a different perspective. To truly appreciate the depth of our sacrifices, consider how strongly Mr. Armstrong emphasized the value of time. In December 1955 issue of The Plain Truth, in an article titled Heart to Heart with the Editor, Mr. Armstrong directly stated, "Time is the most valuable thing you possess." In the Seven Laws of Success booklet, he wrote, time is valuable too. In fact, your most valuable asset. In a World Tomorrow broadcast titled Law of God Part 2, Mr. Armstrong said, time is the most precious thing you have. There's only one thing more precious than time, and that is character, the very character of God. In another broadcast called Christian Living, Mr. Armstrong emphasized, one of the greatest gifts of God is time, and how we use our time is very important. In the Plain Truth magazine, March 1962, in an article titled, What is True Success?, Mr. Armstrong wrote about the wise use of time. The most valuable asset you possess is time. The way you use your time will determine success or failure. During another World Tomorrow broadcast on time management, Mr. Armstrong said, your time is the most valuable thing you own, and yet many of you waste it as if it had no value whatsoever. And lastly, in a co-worker letter from January 1964, Mr. Armstrong wrote, time marches on. It is the most valuable thing you possess. So indeed, time is our most precious resource. And when we sit down and we write the check or we put our money into the envelopes to give an offering, we're not giving God money. We're giving God a sacrifice of our very own lives, a portion of time that we had to use to earn that money, time that we can never get back in this life. That is what we're giving and why the actual amount doesn't matter. It's how we give that is crucial. Remember that in Deuteronomy 16:16, we're commanded to give as we are able and according to the blessings God has given us. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and 7, let's go ahead and turn there. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and 7 expands on that. So let's go ahead and read that. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. To give begrudgingly or with resentment misses the spiritual point entirely. It's like offering an apology without genuine repentance, empty words without heartfelt sincerity. True giving, just like true repentance, must come from an authentic, grateful heart to have real meaning before God. Our offerings are just one aspect of presenting ourselves wholly to God. As we complete these days of unleavened bread, let us remember that the removal of sin from our lives is not just about what we stop doing, but about what we start doing, living as living sacrifices, fully dedicated to God's way of giving. So remember that definition of sacrifice, giving up something important for the sake of something else regarded as more important. When we give, whether it's our time, resources, ourselves, we are surrendering something that belongs to us. And Mr. Armstrong said that time was the most important thing we possess, and that the character of God is the only thing more precious. God wants to build within us his own character, his nature, which is the nature of a giver and not a getter. God wants us to learn to give. And this is part of our spiritual development, to become like God. We know that God loves a cheerful giver, to give because we want to overcome our human nature of being self-centered. And the way of getting and to develop our outgoing concern for others. And this way of life, God's way of life, is what produces true happiness. And when we give an offering, it's a way to physically express gratitude to God. Ingratitude is one of the greatest sins, and by us willingly giving God an offering from our heart to acknowledge the blessings that God has bestowed upon us, to recognize that everything we have, everything we possess, is just a portion of God's wealth which has been entrusted to us, we demonstrate our humility, our faith, and our gratitude to the one who owns it all. So as we willingly and cheerfully give our offerings, we express gratitude and actively shape our character to mirror that of God, the ultimate giver. So let us commit ourselves fully to his way of giving, continually offering ourselves as living sacrifices, praising him and generously sharing with others. In doing so, we truly honor the God who has blessed us abundantly, and prepare ourselves for our future role in his kingdom.